Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Greg. I'm Guy Medeiros. This is my wife, Dana. We just wanted to start off by saying, if this is your first Family Sunday, raise your hand. Okay, so no real newbies. This is a good deal. Okay, we wanted to start out talking about something that came to this church over the course of the past pretty much 12 months, right? And so the Holy Spirit has come and said, we have some work for you to do out in the community. So we'll just have a quick update on how that's going. Then we'll dive right in. So I think we have some slides. I hope we do. Oh, my goodness. There they are. So the Holy Spirit has asked us to do, as a church body, three different things. The first one is just to prepare our house, this house, for an influx of young families and newcomers, just in general. He's sending people to us. We've already seen that happen. That's continuing to happen. So just preparing as though we're going to have guests over. We need a little bit more room. We need things to look nice for them because we're welcoming them in. The second one is to just build bridges. Wasn't real specific about how, but to build bridges between the local schools around here and the church in St. Peter's. So not just us, but including us, the church in St. Peter's. And then the third one is just that we would use our campus as a venue to support needs in our community. We don't know exactly what that looks like yet, but that was that third piece of what he told us to do. And here, if we take pride in anything, we take pride in the fact that we will listen to the Holy Spirit and do whatever he asks us to do, because he knows what he's doing and he always wins. And that's a team we want to be on. So given that, we've been starting to do some of these things. Thank you so much to everybody that gave for the... Okay, so the first one is community impact. What have we been doing? We've been creating events where families can come and join in. So we had a pool party on Friday night. Who was there for that? Raise your hand. Lots of people. There were over 80 people there. It's a really huge pool. There's just as much behind me as there and some off to the side. So I couldn't get, it's not like everybody was in one spot, but that was a great event. And so we just have those every fourth Friday. We'll have an event that's just made for families to come and plug in. And sometimes we do it with water. And then the other thing we're doing to make ourselves ready is we're opening up a new classroom.
Yay!
So this will be just for the 2 and 3 year olds. You know, at that age, they're figuring out walking and moving and all of that stuff. So for them to have their own space to do that in is fantastic. If that's something you are interested in helping with, you can talk to Roberta, but that classroom is going to be opened up in just 2 weeks. So that's fantastic. The second update is making inroads to the school, right? Building bridges to the school. So maybe it's a little hard to see in that picture. But there is a bunch of backpacks there that we packed out for the local school. Their goal was to do 2,000 backpacks. That table's maybe got a little over 100 on it, but there were other big piles that you can't see in here. So we're guessing they got about halfway to their goal in just one event. So I just wanted to say thank you to Paul and Susan were there, Landon and Becca was there, Katie and Amelia pictured here. And my two little ones, Reed and Virgil, came and were helping pack out backpacks. So that's just one of those things we're doing to let that school know that, man, we are for you. We appreciate you. We want to help you. Yes. And so I just appreciate everybody that gave into that event by bringing school supplies. It was so great to see on these tables. Dana and I were thinking it looked like almost half of what we packed came directly out of this body. Wow. So thank you very, very, very much for your generosity. So now we're going to talk we're just going to walk through family, and Dana's going to kick us off.
Yeah, thank you. So if your kid has an activity sheet, you want to thank Amanda Ayers for putting those together. Really appreciate her. And we just want to take a minute to acknowledge all of the people that work. We call it the Family Life Team. That's kind of our 0 through young adult team. Our leaders there, Roberta May, I don't know if she's in the room. She leads our Life Kids team, along with a fantastic team of leaders. Stephen and Heather Newton with our Life 129, and Greg and Angie Maurer with our young adults. So they are doing a fantastic job making us ready for the families that are coming. So I really want to just appreciate and honor them. So Family Sunday, Guy and I are like, well, let's talk about family. What is family? What does family do? What can family look like? What does kingdom family look like? And so when you're talking about family, you're like, ooh, what's a definition for family? What defines a family? So we could look in a dictionary, or we could look in a book by the person that designed family. And because he designed family, he gets to define family and tell us what it is. And there's a podcaster that I listen to. Her name is Allie Beth Stuckey, and she has an alliteration that I really, really love and I want to share with you today. And an alliteration, kids, adults, is just a fancy way of saying all the words start with the same sound or letter. So it's easy to remember. So this one happens to be ours. And so the first one is, it is rooted in creation, family. So in Genesis 2:24, we see, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Family is reiterated throughout Scripture. We can look in Exodus, Jeremiah, Mark, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, and more. You can find family, marriages, descriptions, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters. It is repeated by Christ himself. In Matthew 19, and I have part of the scripture, but as I was praying earlier, the Holy Spirit said, actually read the whole answer. Because in Matthew, the Pharisees are asking Jesus a question to try to trick him. And so he answers, they were talking about divorce, but what he answered is he says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So Jesus quoted exactly what God said in Genesis again. So if anyone tells you that Jesus doesn't have an opinion or anything to say about marriage, you can gently, kindly say, oh, but I think he does. Let's take a look. It is representative of Christ and the church. In Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Have we heard that before? And the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And lastly, it's reflective of the gospel, right? It's a mystery. We don't quite know why, but it reflects the gospel and that we represent, as a man and a woman, united in one flesh, unconditional love for an imperfect person, sacrifice for the benefit of another, and commitment to the end. And so, just going to say them again, it's rooted in creation, it's reiterated throughout Scripture, it's repeated by Christ himself, it's representative of Christ and the church, and it's reflective of the gospel. If you want to have those, you can check in the Notes app of your, Audrey has it, Lagoon, way to go, Notes app, and the church app, it's right there. We put it all in there along with all the scripture references. And so since we were just kind of in a language arts kind of mood, we thought it would be fun to do, as we're talking about family, what does family look like? What does family do? We thought, well, let's just take family and make an acrostic of it. An acrostic is when you take a word, and then every point is the first letter of that word. So if you know how to spell family, you know how long our message is going to be. The first letter is F. And sometimes we just pick, you can pick one word for that starts with an F. I didn't follow the rules, so there's going to be three of them, just so you know. And some of our letters will have two, some will have one. But family feeds you, right? Literally. Right? I feed my children every day, three times a day. Yeah, Deacon's like, yeah, you do. And also, what are we doing today after church? We're going to literally feed ourselves with the bounty that everyone has provided. But it also feeds you spiritually, right? It gives you nourishment for your spirit and for your soul. In Acts 2, we see, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they receive food with glad and generous hearts. Another F, family forms you. You are formed in your mother's womb, physically. For you formed me in my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. That's from Psalm 139. Then, when we are
a new creation. We are transformed into a new creation at salvation. We're adopted into God's family. And in 2 Corinthians, it says, you are transformed into a new creation, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Then, as you walk out your salvation, right? Because it's not a one-time event. One time you're sealed, right? He saved you. But then you walk out the rest of your life, you become conformed to the image of Christ. And that's what your kingdom family helps you to do. And it says in Romans, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Because at the end of our lives, we want to look more like Jesus than we do today. And then the last F word I have, I said I shouldn't say F word, but I just did, is forgives you. Right? Family forgives you. I don't know how many times we say to our children, he's your brother, she's your sister. You have to forgive them. You do not have a choice. They are your brother, your sister for your whole life. Right? And so then just a couple of scriptures, just that God's instructions to us. In Ephesians, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So everything that Christ has forgiven me, how can I not then offer that to someone else who I call my brother or my sister? In Colossians 3, it says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Same thing, said a different way. All right, if you are under 12, do you know what the next letter in family is? A.
Excellent.
If you're over 12 and you like to guess, what do you think the word is?
Ooh.
A, the word?
Add.
Ooh, that would have been a good one. I should have chosen add. I did not. I chose applauds you. Didn't see that one coming out of left field. So if you think about what your family does, there's a lot of times I'll say, oh, I can't wait to call my mom and dad, or I can't wait to get home and tell Dana, because you can't go up to a stranger and like brag on yourself or say something that went really well and then expect them to be like really excited for you, right? That's something family does. They get really excited for you.
Yes.
And they applaud you, and it's okay for them to, and it feels really good when they do that. So when you think about that in a kingdom context, right, that this is a good scripture for that, 1 Corinthians, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
Yes,
so it reminded me of a quote. I kind of adapted this quote, but in a scarcity mindset, right, where everything, it's a zero-sum game, either I get it or you get it, right? That scarcity mindset that encourages comparison, sympathy is easier than celebration, right? Because if you're celebrating somebody, then it's something you didn't get. They attained something you didn't. The focus is on them. It's not on you. But in a kingdom mindset, an abundance mindset, celebration is easier than sympathy. So in the church, we are really, really good at when someone's hurting them, coming up to them, coming beside them, and oh my goodness, we're here for you. How can we support you? How can we love you? How can I pray for you? We're really good at that. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But how many times are we going up and just making it a point to say, hey, I heard this happen to you. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. When somebody does a good job, we notice it. We stop and we recognize that. So just like your family performs that function for you, and a lot of times we're talking about the ideal family. Not all of us had the ideal family. But the kingdom of God, we can, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, make it an ideal family. Like Tom said last week, if you didn't come from a good home, be a good home to come from, right? And that's what we want to do here. So the idea of applauding people when things goes well, that's a place we want to be.
Yeah. All right, what letter do we have next?
M, very good, very good. Now we're not going to add, we're actually going to multiply, because family multiplies. My father-in-law, Rod, reminds every child as we are getting married that multiplication is more than two. So His family has taken that to heart thus far. So there are quite a few of them. So they have multiplied from 2 to 5 to 10 when all their siblings married, to 25 grandchildren, to 5 great-grandchilden, and 3 more coming this year. So they took that commandment to multiply very seriously. And so we see in Genesis 1:28, right? And God blessed them to Adam and Eve. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then in Genesis, he's talking to Jacob. He's saying, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so like in our natural family and our earthly family, it also applies to our kingdom family. A kingdom family multiplies, but we don't multiply by producing physical children. We produce spiritual children and disciples, and we welcome them in, and we give people a place to call home and to call family. So if they didn't have a family that welcomed them and celebrated them and fed them, that they now have a place where they find that. And they can then take that to others, because we don't want to keep it just here, because the kingdom is meant for the whole earth. Okay, who knows what's next? Hi. Excellent. We've got some great spellers.
We do. Okay, any guesses on the words? I've got the vowels, A, I, and maybe Y. Anybody got a guess on the I? Infiltrates? No, that wouldn't make sense. Include. Includes and accepts you. Good job. There's 2 people got it simultaneously. So includes and accepts you. This is my favorite part about family, because they can't not include and accept you. Sometimes it can be awkward. Sometimes it's just a couple times a year. But you know that blood relative, if you've got nowhere else to go, they have to take you in. They have to include you. But not just include you, but also accept you. You are a member of my family. I recognize you as such. I accept you. So obviously in the kingdom of God, inclusion and acceptance can be just as difficult as having a relative, right? Because you have somebody be like, that is my sister and brother in Christ, but they do not look like me. They don't act like me. They don't talk like me. They don't believe the same things that I believe. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's the Son of God, and he rose from death to forgive our sins. But outside of that, doesn't seem like we have much in common. But that's something that this house definitely wants to be, right? We are 4 other churches. We are 4 other denominations. If they believe Jesus Christ is Lord and he's the Son of God, the true one and only Son of God, they are on our team. They're wearing the same jersey. But even more than that, they are family. We will include them. We will accept them. We will accept them before they change, if they need to change some more, be more conformed, right? We'll still accept them even before they've done that. Yes. So this is a picture, and who knows who the guy in the middle is if you're under 17? JFK, that's right. I think somebody was over 17, but I still appreciate it. That's John F. Kennedy. And who knows what president he was in the United States? What number was he? 36. I said it like I know I have no idea, but 36, that seems a little too early maybe. Let's just say 37. Thanks for Googling that, helper. Nobody did. So that's JFK, and right, he's in the Oval Office there, and he's got chief of staffs around him, right? There's cabinet, that's who's around, and look how serious they look. Man, they are talking. And in order to be in that room with JFK, to be included there, you have had to have performed quite well, both in grade school and then in college and then after college in politics or in military or wherever you were. You had to have had success, and you have to have an image. It's not just enough to perform well and have success. You also need to portray an image that you can be trusted, right? And that's what it takes to be included in that office, in that entourage, in that group. Unless you're that little guy. You see him down there? He's just as included. I would argue he's got more of a right to be in that room than anybody else but JFK, right? That's the president's son. He can be wherever he wants to be. His basis for inclusion, just being born, just being there. So sometimes it can be difficult. to include somebody except somebody. I actually think we got a video clip just because. There's no good reason for this. But I hope we do. It's my favorite movie.
How sure does look swell, Mark.
Thanks, Eddie. I hope it enhances your holiday spirit. Dear Catherine. Eddie?
Oh, the house is gorgeous, Clark.
Eddie?
I hope you didn't do this all on our account, Clark. Kids, come on out here and see what Uncle Clark's done to the house.
Eddie?
Eddie? Yeah, if you don't remember, this here is Rocky.
You remember Ruby Sue?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Her eyes aren't crossed anymore.
That's something, ain't it? She falls in a well, eyes go crossed. She gets kicked by a mule, they go back to normal. I don't know.
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
Yeah, you surprised? Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
We have plenty of room. Plenty of towels. Plenty of everything.
So, cleverly edited, if you know the movie. Yes. I would say, but the thing there is, like, they show up unannounced. It's such a good picture of the kingdom, Christmas Vacation is. Show up unannounced. They park that terrible, beastly thing in the garage in an unedited version, say, we're going to stay here for a while. Just don't get used to it because we'll be taking it with us when we leave next month, right? So they were just like, just assume they could show up, assume that they could stay. And what do Clark and Ellen do? They say, of course. It's an imposition, but of course. So we just want to be that kind of house where even when it's awkward, even when it's difficult, even when it's just not something you want to do at all, and it can actually kind of make you look bad, I'll still accept you. I'll still include you.
So good. Absolutely. I think the L is probably pretty easy to guess. So who has absolutely, right? That's the one that we're like, everybody will know that one, because how could it be anything else? Because it's because of love that we are here, that we exist, that we are with him, that we are in relationship with God. And no definition, no dictionary says it better than 1 Corinthians, where it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, right? It's what allows us to accept and include other people, because I would dare you to convince me that there is a more transformative power in the world than the love of Jesus Christ. It literally redeems and restores the entire earth from its fallen, broken condition. And when I'm wanting to feel particularly challenged, I put my name in the place of love. And I read it, Dana is patient and kind. Dana is not arrogant or rude. She doesn't insist on her own way. She always wants to, though. But she's not irritable or resentful. She does not rejoice at wrongdoing. She rejoices with the truth. Dana bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And do you know why I can put my name in there? Not because I can do it. I can put my name in there because I've given my life to Jesus and I've allowed him to change me, because I could be willful and stubborn and be like, I won't do it. But instead I've laid my life down so that now he tells me how I get to be and who I am. And that is what and who I am. And then in Ephesians, just again, how we as a church family, as a kingdom family, interact with each other with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Okay. There's one more letter left. Y. There it is. There it is.
Okay, who can guess why? Why was really hard to come up with something? Well, to come up with something. Yogi Bear? Somebody's a Yoda. Did you say that? Yoda. Okay, that makes way more sense. Oh, okay, there we are. You are safe. So if you think about family, the family is a place where... What's that?
Behind you.
Okay. You are so safe that you don't even have to look at slides. We're that good right now. But the why is for you are safe. So in family, again, where we're thinking of an ideal family, there is no safer place. In fact, that's what makes you feel safe. It's not the physical environment you're in. It is who you're in that physical environment with. I was working with this guy, and he was fixing his truck yesterday, and he was saying, and I'm not going to give away who it was, but he was saying to his son or his daughter, Sybil, he was saying, she would sometimes get scared and think somebody was going to try to harm her. And he was like, baby, you don't need to worry about that. Dad's here. And she goes, if somebody tries to hurt you, I break them. Right? And so she did, right now she just like in her mind, okay, don't need to worry about that. I'm 100% completely safe. So the scripture we had for that is, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, man, they included a lot of really good stuff here, the Holy Spirit did, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, anything you can think of will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Absolutely nothing. So if you think about the safest you've ever felt in your entire life, you are eternally that safe in this family. We're still blue. The last one is, you are blue. No, you are yielded to Christ. So that is an important part of any Christian family, is you're there for each other. You're there to provide for your kids. You're there to raise kids. You're there to vacation together and work together and live together. But all of that has to be yielded to Christ. Same thing here. If we're just gathering together and our main purpose isn't to glorify the Son of God and to worship Jesus Christ with all we have, what are we doing here?
Right.
It's a country club and dues go up. That's all, you know. This is... what we do here, what we do in our families, is about yielding our lives, laying our lives down to what Christ wants and what the Holy Spirit asks us to do. That's the most important part of this family, and I hope that that's at the center of your family as well.
Amen.
All right. Oh, I'm closing?
Yeah.
And in conclusion, purposely keep these brief today. I appreciate everybody, because I know sometimes when the kids are here, they can get up and move around a little bit, but we are convinced that they should be in here. Yes. We do that on purpose, because if you think about the lifespan of a person from 0 to, let's say, 95, we'll give 100 years. 100 years, we think of it as being so long, and a kid has no idea what the end looks like and doesn't understand. But if you think about the infinite span from God's point of view, all time, forever, our 100 years is like that. So if you think about 7 of those 100 years, it's almost indistinguishable from your 97th year from God's perspective. You are a created being that He loves with all of His heart at any age. You are a person. And so we just understand that the kids are just in their timeline. They're at the place there. They're a human that God created in that point in their timeline that to Him is pretty roughly equal to our point in timeline. So we just need to remember that as we sometimes not all being in the same timeline, it can be a little challenging when we're made to sit for long periods of times, but that's what we believe. Thank you guys for doing that and not letting that ruffle your feathers. I see somebody praising the Lord in the back. Thank you very much. I see that. Yes, apparently we're doing questions now, but Debbie's allowed to ask, yeah.
Can I add something to this?
Yes. This is my best friend's mother, Deborah Tope.
And I just wanted to add, as I was listening to them talk about family, there's something else about family. When you have a family that's rooted and believes in Jesus Christ, you have people that pray for you. Yeah. And I cannot tell you how important it is for each of you to be praying for your kids, for your grandkids, great-grandkids, or even your spouses. It's so important. I can testify that that young man is alive today because his mom and me prayed for him. Dana, you have nothing to worry about. But I think that is really an important, the P of all of this is pray for one another.
That's good. Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, thank you, Debbie, because obviously we know when we limit ourselves to six letters, right? There's 1,000 letters, right? We could look in the Bible and find, oh, family does this, family should do this, family should do this. So I encourage you to figure out some more things, some new things, some prayer, some other letters, what family does, what family is, because most things that we do in our natural family, we do it because it's part of a kingdom family too. God makes pictures and he makes things to represent. Remember, we, as a husband and a wife, we represent both his image and we represent Christ in the church.
Yes.
Why? How? Paul, like, just like Paul. Oh, like, it's a mystery, right? But that's what we do. I just want to encourage anybody, if you need prayer, we have an amazing prayer team that have been preparing to pray for you, for your kids, for your family, for anything that you are facing.
Yeah, they put the P in family.
Family. Yeah. And if I'm reminded of Derek's word too, right? If today is the day where you're like, today is the day, I don't see a way out, there is a way out, friend.
Yes.
There is a way out. Come forward, get some prayer, get some people to stand with you and to point you to the one who is the way out.
Yeah.
But we are getting set up for family meals, so prayer time team, if you want to come forward, please, please, please come forward for prayer.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.